AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Not Soji realizes that she's not Soji.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 2114222.3. Welcome aboard to Starship Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your captain, Ian Whittington, and with me, as always, is the collective ambassador, Danae Hughes.
Is that the second Borg reference you've given me?
Well, what's on my sheet is adaptive, so just be grateful you didn't get the same intro as last week.
Oh, no. Well, we have been busy. We've been traveling.
Super busy. We have just, within the last 12 hours, got back from the insanity that is the CinemaSins Sin Week. How much fun was it to actually see some Captain's Pod fans and do a live show in front of them and just geek out for a good, like, kind of 4 hours of it? Was just like all geeking out about Star Trek.
Oh, it lasted way more than 4 hours. It was kind of like talking. So Captain's Pod kicked off the whole podcast panel.
Yeah, it did.
Of Sin Week. And when we say Sin Week, we're talking about the live part of Sin Week. Mm-hmm. The entire YouTube channel celebrates this on YouTube, mm-hmm. By like promoting that we have 3 extra videos, but all of the action happens on our Sin Club level. So all of our fans get extra videos, and so they can do that from the comfort of their own home. But we also, on top of that, have an in-person event going on, mm-hmm. later in the week.
In Nashville.
So it's a layered experience. And throughout the entire week, so Captain's Pod kicks it off. And then throughout the entire rest of the week, it was like all of the nerddom that is Star Trek just kept percolating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just one thing. It was like it turned everyone's geekometer up slightly.
Yeah, the geekometer, nice.
It potentially made everyone comfortable with talking about Star Trek or asking questions. And then it just permeated the rest of the entire time. It was great.
Right. Yeah, the questions kept popping up, like, how do I get into Star Trek? What do I watch? And my God, how much of a nerd are you? And
Or when Jeremy comes running up to you when we were at the at the arcade and like grabs your hand and yanks you out into the pinball area, was like, look what I found. It was a TNG pinball machine.
It was so great. It sent you on like away missions, and I was there for about 3 hours just dominating this pinball machine. And it was like, by the way, there's another one over there. It's about the Kelvin films. I was like, oh my God. But I wanted to stay with the Enterprise. But yeah, it was so much fun. It was great to interact with some of you guys who I know listen all the time. So yeah, it was awesome. It was great.
Also fun because there's the Discord, which if you haven't thought about joining the Discord, or if you're looking for just a fun community, whether you know a lot about Star Trek or not, if you join the CinemaSins Discord, one of the channels in our CinemaSins Discord is all dedicated to Captain's Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just fun conversations happening there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it really blew up at Sin Week because of all the fun things that were going on. So it's a fun time to hop in and join. Plus, you can see a picture that Ian...
Yes. So we also debuted the USS Enterprise.
This is the big reveal.
Yeah, sorry.
That Ian was so excited about last episode. And he's apologetic now because upon reflection, he realized that for a podcast, revealing an image is a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, that was interesting. And it may be something that I am more excited about than anyone else. But
it's okay, though.
This ship looks incredible. Our good friend Pedro designed it for us, did an absolutely amazing job of giving it kind of like a CinemaSins cine stint to it. So we're going to put that up on Twitter. It's going to be the new banner, and we'll put a little link to Pedro as well so you can see some of the other awesome stuff he does. He puts himself into episodes of TNG as like an awkward crew member in the background. He is hilarious and extremely talented, so thank you, Pedro.
So talented. Yeah, he sent the first images of the ship, and it was like, whoa, we're going to get our own ship.
Heck yeah.
I mean, in our imaginations, but also it's been drawn. And you can zoom in, and there's the CinemaSins Pitchfork M on there.
Yeah.
And you can see where it says USS Enterprise. Mm-hmm. So zoom in and enjoy the details. He'll put that up on our new Twitter here in just a minute.
Yeah. Thank you, Pedro. So this week we will be looking at season 2, episode 6 of Picard. The title is 2 of 1.
7 of 9. 2 of 1.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously a Borg designation, but it's not usually that way round. The big number always goes at the end because your collective is the end bit, and then which number you are in that collective is obviously what number you are.
Do you feel like this is just the wink and the nod that Agnes is going to be able to stave off the mental invasion of the Borg Queen drones?
I think it's just basically it is a collective of one with two brains inside. Yeah. So I wondered if it was a bit spoilery to like the permanence of that connection and that new collective, where it's going to go to. I think the Borg Queen is here to stay, but I don't think that means Agnes is going. But I think Agnes is going to lean more towards the Queen's side. I think we're going to lose Agnes to the collective, and she's still going to make the collective something.
Which means we finally can be like, well, she deserved it because she was a murderer.
Yeah. Assimilate her. She killed her boyfriend.
I wonder what kind of a personality Borg Queen will have. I am curious about how this is going to go. I have had to release some of my potentially too high expectations of the show after last episode. I kind of had to go, all right. I got to get back into just not thinking about this to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But those first three episodes were just like solid hits.
So
for me.
Good.
So, well, it's not that they're a swing and a miss, it's a swing and a slap. For the last few.
It has been, because they're pushing the story forward, but it's just in this haphazard, mildly unconstructive, wasteful way where we're not getting to see the whole crew.
That might be a little harsh. Like, upon reflection, we'll know more. Once we see the full season, we might look back on these and think this is what they were setting up. That's my hope.
We might look back on the car chase and think, you know what? That was a cinematic stroke of genius.
Agreed.
You do not think that. There is no way. Shut your mouth. You are a liar.
I wonder if we're going to see what the Doctor is up to on this episode, because that was one of the lingering things that they left over from last episode, is what is this mission that Q gave to Dr. Sung?
Sung?
Sung.
Sung.
And then also, what is the actual thing that Q changed? Because we're still a little curious about what it may actually be. The show is kind of hinting at some things, but what if it's something different? We had some fan emails kind of giving theories on that too, which, by the way, you guys are also more than welcome to do that.
Yep. So we talk about some of the fan emails in the outtakes this week, which, shock, we record before the show, even though we put them after the show, just to bend some time and space every week.
We slingshot.
We slingshot the outtakes to the end of the episode, even though, yeah, got it. Cool. Well, with that, we will see you guys for 4D Brief and 10 Forward after we have watched Star Trek Picard. Welcome to the Captain's Ready Room, where we hear our predictions for the rest of the season and bask in our Q-like glory. What? Apparently we just start the show with the end of the show now. That's just what we do.
What? Wait, what? What is happening?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab a drink from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched together. Danae has picked up a second mic. A second mic that's like a karaoke mic, and is now using that to speak into her actual mic.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask what you're drinking because I think you're drunk already. Nice. Danae. No, I haven't done the episode overview.
No. You gotta do the whole thing.
What whole thing? What thing?
The actual introduction.
I've done the introduction. I've done it. Would I have to do it again? Danae is now on the floor. I guess I'm doing it again. Okay. Welcome
no,
to.
No. No.
Let's go. So, this week, the Picard and company have a mission to make sure that Renee Picard overcomes her fears and stays on the Europa mission, whilst Adam Soong has been sent by Q to make sure that does not happen, all while Agnes plays with the Queen. And
go!
Go. Overall thoughts on the episode, Danae, Ambassador?
Well, you never
know. No, you just shifted into Star Wars then. That's not allowed.
Yeah, sorry about that. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Man, I don't know just yet.
I know, me neither.
I don't know just yet. I feel like, so in this episode, when we come to the end of it, I'm asking myself, is this part of the plan all along, or are we just kind of meandering towards, I don't know. I think to me it's becoming obvious that Q's fuckery is actually Borg related.
So do you mean the writer's plan overall, or the character's plan overall?
The writer's plan. Yeah. What is the... Are they throwing out a bunch of things to just give us something to think about but before next episode, rather than do what they need to be do? I don't know. I'm confused.
I think there is a plan.
I don't know how I feel right now.
I think there is a... I'm right with you. I think it's rapidly losing its way. But I do think that compared to last season, there is a plan. I think they're just not doing a fantastic job of cohesing it together in a way that's entertaining to watch while you're on the way to getting to the revelations, because we're spending all of this time with filler stuff. So we have like a car chase episode, we have whatever last week was, and then we have a heist-ish meh episode this week as well, instead of having something enjoyable towards the reveals. Now, I'm sure the reveal itself is going to be great and the finale is going to be great, but getting there is not fun.
Yeah, why wait till the finale? I don't know.
It feels like they're following a formula of bad action films or bad heist films or bad Ryan Reynolds films to get us to where we're going.
Yeah. You know, and then we have this kind of like side moment over where not Soji realizes that she's not Soji. Is that how to say that?
Yes. That really broke your reservoir. All of that is true, but for so many wrong reasons.
And I understand that that's an interesting peek into the history of this Dr. Soon character. But it's hard. It's just hard to be invested in something that you're wondering constantly, is this all going to be erased anyway?
That is my biggest problem.
And that's what we experienced in that episode of the bad future, which is now so long ago, it doesn't feel so bad anymore.
Right.
But we're in this like moment going, we don't know what every decision is. Is it going to be erased because it's all so wrong? Mm-hmm. Or is this actually part of the future that is the good future? And that means that it's almost like, why keep track in a way?
Exactly, because they could just flick a switch and reset it, or they come out and say, yes, it was meant to be this way all along. I was thinking that exact thought, and that's the problem with this form of time travel, is it's hard to stay invested when Q could pop in and say, yeah, this is, and they're going to read some like history book that says, oh yeah, all of these people were at the gala and look, we were there all. I could be wrong, but that kind of, this history was always going to happen type of time travel happens a lot.
So when you ask me like what my thoughts on it is, it's a lot to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch it, we immediately come in here and record our instinctive thoughts
gut
about
reactions.
It. And when I look at last episode, did that one grow on me any differently? Not really. So I feel like this is going to be a similar vibe and maybe even a little bit more frustratingly so. So what about you? Did you overall?
Well, you guys get the full swing of emotions because you get our euphoria from episodes 1, 2, and 3, which I'm sure if we watched again, we would like calm
lower
it down
a little
bit.
Yeah.
But you also get the knee jerk to the mediocre / badly put together episodes.
There are things I
so this feels
about
more
this.
Extreme. Oh, there are some stuff
sure.
I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought some of the camera angles in this were really fun, where like a glance down at the table and then you have Girardi and then you know, the reflection of Borg Queen, but then it glances up and Borg Queen isn't there. That was really clever.
Yeah, I loved Brent Spiner in this. I think he makes a fantastic bad guy.
He does.
He was absolutely badass.
When all of the sound and cuts out and you just hear this beautiful voice and it's like, wait, is this just part of, are they bringing in a song to kind of transition for the next few minutes? And no, it's actually Agnes being controlled by Borg Queen. And the mental gymnastics I went through in that moment of realizing that a machine is taking over her body and using her vocal cords to the best of their ability. Like even if Agnes couldn't actually sing, that Borg Queen would know how to use her vocal cords to make her be able to sing, and just the interesting parts of how that works.
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that in this instance? Because I have answers. We'll do it in Reverse Instance. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I have so much for Reverse Instance, so we may...
Just need to get there.
Well, because this is such a limp story plot-wise, we may have to get to Reverse Instance quite quickly.
Oh, it was a little limpy, wasn't it? You know, limpy things have good parts,
have purpose.
Too.
I mean, if this gets us somewhere, incredible. And if it gets us to you... Right, Danae is still holding the karaoke mic.
Oh, wait,
and it's making me antsy.
Limpy.
I have no idea how that's going to translate on the audio for the pod.
I don't know.
But it's going to happen every now and again. Say we are the Borg.
We are the Borg.
Why did you do it with an English accent?
I didn't. I went, we are Borg.
Oh, it sounded English.
In. Well, that's because she's English, right?
Is she?
That's where all the Borg stuff started anyway.
In England?
Yeah, you all started to assimilate everyone.
Oh, shit. No, we did. Yeah, we are the original Borg. That's amazing. Right, my overall thoughts was... boring. Some highlights, some good bits, but some stuff we have absolutely seen 1,000 times before, just with not even a Star Trek tint on it. Because, and this is the problem with doing things in present day, is it just feels half-assed. It feels a bit cheap because there's nothing kind of sci-fi-ish about it. This is, if you didn't know this was in a Star Trek show, this would be a really boring Ocean's 11 movie, or a really boring by mission series episode. It was just a bit dull. And
I think you were right, because you predicted that the next few episodes were going to be like the transitional kind of downswing episodes and momentum, and I think you're
right. It just
right,
doesn't need to be, though.
Because this one is a handoff to giving a little bit of a confirmation of Dr. Soong purpose and, like, you know, experimental things, which you predicted.
Well, and part of the problem is the stuff that was revealed in this episode, we're way ahead of them. Like, we already... Maybe it's just me, but that didn't feel like Dalj finding out that she's not Soji. Felt like a big reveal for her, which is great, but was it meant to be a big reveal for us? Because
no,
that seems
not.
So telegraphed.
No. And it is an interesting thing, but there was a lot of screen time on that. It also felt like it was a setup for next episode, which will be the digging into the dream sequence, these memories that Picard
Absolutely.
Has been struggling with since episode one, where we kind of had those flashbacks. So, which looks really dark and twisted and I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it either. But
we knew it was coming as well. It was like, we knew that this episode should have just been called, well, we knew that was going to happen, because we knew the Doctor was going to
come back
in. Rios is, we're going to say love interest, is going to come back in to save the day. We knew Agnes and the Queen were going to get more mergy. We knew that not Dalj was not Dalj. And we know we're going to get into Picard's memories. We knew Laris was going to come back and they're going to get deeper.
You're right.
All of this stuff that they've set up, but I feel like we just got there way before the show did.
Was there a surprise in this episode for you?
No, I don't think. No, without being big-headed, I think I predicted everything in this episode.
Yeah.
A slightly boring heist. Dalj finds out, well, we know what Dalj is. Queen takes over Agnes, but Agnes is still kind of in there. I think that's maybe the one thing I got wrong. Agnes has far less control than I thought she'd had. And that maybe we're getting into the bottom of that so that she can make a resurgence and come back. Because you've got to beat her down to make her the hero.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have like two situations. I guess one of the things that did surprise me is the going into Picard's mind situation. That's a surprise to me. Like that's where we are going to be extrapolating his memories, because it is two situations where two are one. Two of one,
yeah.
Obviously, clearly
it
Agnes and Borg Queen, but also two of one is going to be this being going inside of Picard next episode.
Well, that is one of the themes that's quite good, because in a lot of ways, Corey is two of one as well, because she is both two things, that she believes she's a human, she is human, but she believes she's born of man and woman, and she isn't. Laris is two people, the person that the Romulan that Picard knows and whatever she is now. So that is a theme, that this duality is a theme that's coming through, but it's getting like lip service, but it's not what's being dug into. It's not the theme isn't being carried on much more. It feels muddy. It just feels really muddy.
This one felt probably the most forced of all, although I really am interested to see it. However, this episode could have been in last episode as easily.
It really
so
could.
So this one didn't really do much more except for maybe like tie some stuff together. So it was a bit disappointing. I'm glad to have seen some of the moments. I do like the characters, but it felt forced to me. So I think we should just send the shit out of it.
No, I do love the characters. I do. And there is just seeing Brent Spiner turn up, confront Picard, and just be super evil. And that Brent Spiner is such a fucking great actor. He's so great. When he's in the car.
Oh yeah.
The emotions that he goes through. So, so good.
He and Agnes were my favorite parts of this. The parts that were really hard for me was the forced relationship, which we knew from the very beginning of the season was going to be part of this because they kind of set the whole stage with it being relationship driven.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Laris or the alien Laris, who isn't really Laris, the not Laris.
That looks human.
Human Laris, whatever the fuck. You know, her having this kind of, not forced, but like this weird sort of moment with Picard where Picard is, like just all this, not even hinting at Picard loving Laris, but just like this reminder in their dialogue that that's important somehow. And then it's also in this strange kind of moment where Picard is talking about his mom with Renee, and Renee, and they have this back and forth interaction that really just was all over the place for me, because it starts off with a strong woman saying, I need space. And then the other man saying, okay, but here's some advice you didn't ask for. And then suddenly she's like, okay, I'm in for it. I'm in for this advice.
This
Give
is
me
all
more.
I needed.
And then it shifts her whole entire stratosphere, which is alarming, to be honest. You know, she has this doctor, this, you know, that she's been developing this patient relationship with for a long time.
Let's just overrule that.
But yeah, and suddenly this new person coming on that she feels this affinity for, which, I don't know, maybe I just haven't had that happen a lot in my life where I've met someone and be like, do I know you? Like, I guess there's some moments that could be really stand out with certain people that I've had a really deep connection to. But like, would I suddenly decide to pin you my astronaut future because of it? I don't know. I've never been in that situation before, but that kind of felt forced too. Also, then you have this weird moment with Rafi and Rios, where Rafi is like, you look so happy. And it's not because of all the cool shit that you see around you or almost being sent to Mexico. You know, none of that matters anymore. You like matchsticks and also that girl that one time. Oh, I was like, really? Like, super big eye roll. Really?
Everyone is telepathic at the minute because the Picard and Renee conversation, the only way that works is if Renee psychically knows that Picard is related to her and that this is really important.
Yeah, some weird vibe or something.
Which has been done before. We've seen that. Like, Marty McFly does it in Back to the Future. It's been done.
It felt contrived for me to, and this is probably all resistance too, but it felt really like strange to me that Rafi looks out in Seven of Nine is just mingling.
Oh, resistance completely. Stop mingling.
So I don't know. I just, everything felt like it was just a convenient thing after convenient thing, just to remind us about how we are supposed to feel about these characters and what they're thinking about and their motivations, rather than just showing it happen with emotions and acting.
Yep.
And it's kind of like we don't trust the audience to know where we want them to be. And and this episode is kind of like when you are told to show up to an event and you've been given an email and you've read the email and you've prepared and you're ready. And then you get to the event, and the event coordinator spends an hour telling you everything that you've already read.
Yes.
And you're like, no, I am prepared. You just need to, like, let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And then the event coordinator says, okay, well, we'll let you. And then as you're walking into the event, they spend another 20 minutes telling you even more. Because it's like this, at this point, we've seen episode after episode after episode, I feel, of them shoving things kind of in our face.
Yeah.
Rather than showing us really fun acting scenes.
It lent on that Picard speech so much, and sadly it wasn't well-written
a
Picard speech.
No.
And it was, the framework of it was really bad. Like you said, it is this woman that has absolutely genuine fears, concerns, anxieties about what's happening, and a grandfather figure is going to come in and say, you must overcome your fears, based on nothing at all. And he does it to Laris as well. Like, who's looking after
you,
Laris?
I know.
Like
that was a big revelation.
And that's the problem. Laris thinks it is a big revelation. She's like, oh my God, you have cut me to my core, sir.
I know. And we haven't even addressed, like, why the fuck do they look exactly the same? Are they going to ever explain that? Hopefully.
They will. They have to. Yeah, they have to.
You know who would have been a better person to put in for a chat?
Aaron?
With Renee.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Sorry. We watched this.
I'm sorry. You're replacing me?
We watched this with Aaron Dyson, and he also has some major problems with Renee.
I think Rios would have been a much better person to talk to Renee.
Yeah.
He's a captain. Or Rafi. He's been through a lot.
Yes. Like
if you're going to put a character who understands piloting
and
the pressures of all of that, who is still, you know, and I want to see Sir Patrick Stewart as much as possible.
And that's the reason it's him. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that one was written just felt like, although parts of it I did like parts of it. So it wasn't completely, but I just was like, man, when Rios was following her, I'm like, this is going to be a really good scene because it's going to be.
We can use him for something.
Yeah, Elmer was there too for a brief second.
Yeah, for a hallucination, hot second. I wonder if they filmed all of those back to back and then just said, you can go home.
There's all these scenes of him actually there.
Yep. It's like, are we really doing a heist episode? Don't worry. We're just doing Elmer's bit for now. So Agnes comes out and basically all the shit goes sideways as soon as Adam Sung gets there. Security wants to descend on them. Agnes gives over control to Queenie so that they can create a distraction which allows Picard to talk to Renee. Agnes does some singing and that released a ton of endorphins, which we'll get into in this instance, and Queenie now has complete control. Did you like overall the interaction between Queenie and Agnes in this episode? It's the main thing that I'm invested in now, even though it still felt a little bit get on with it in this episode. It's the only bit to me that feels like not part of the plan. Like, if that is completely separate to Q and this is a byproduct, that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, I don't know if this is part of Q's plan or not, because I don't think Q could have predicted that they would take Borg Queen. Well, but maybe he could, because he knew she was needed for the power source, because they're trying to get off of this futuristic world.
Mm.
How else would they do it if not Borg Queen? So he set it up to be the day that she was going to be taken. So
in theory, an omnipotent god being. He has to know every different permutation.
So I think that he would be like, let's get this Borg Queen on and she's going to assimilate them and send them back in time. Let's have fun and see what happens if, you know. But the future that we saw wasn't a whole bunch of Borgs, right?
It wasn't. That's the big reason that I'm thinking this is not part of the plan is because there is no record of this.
The assimilation. Unless they were all Borgs because they're Borg drones like we're seeing now.
Yeah, but then you have the whole eradication day and Picard defeating the Borg in the future. So this is why I think it's branching into.
Is he defeating things in the future because he had to because of what starts now?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he can defeat the Borg so easily because he did it in the past already. So it's a trippy, tricky.
It's a trippy situation.
It is.
But your question was, do I like.
Did you like the overall interaction between and Agnes?
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel like Borg Queen is either playing chess with her food, like playing with her food kind of a thing. Like we're watching what it's like. Yeah. That she was acting like she was crying, like she was acting like she was sad to bring her closer. And then she's just enjoying that she could take over. But what fun is that? Because she hasn't had anyone to talk to for a while and she likes the struggle. So it kind of could play into that this entity, this alien creature, this Borg is just really sadistic.
I'm beginning to think that's what it is.
Because, you know, you get the impression immediately that she doesn't really, whatever she needs to do to work the system, she's going to work the system. And she's figuring out the mechanics of the human form.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's always wanted to be human, like you said. So this is her way of kind of trying to take over from the inside.
She said this was the plan all along. I genuinely believe that the endorphins and doing all of that, like Agnes being so desperate to feel and to find some kind of contentment made her a soft target.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was to pump up the endorphins and somehow biologically that's what Queenie needs to stay in control. I actually think it's now less to do with Agnes being impressive and incredible, and it's actually about her being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Queen has picked on her and needs her as well. I think she needed legs. I think the reason she needed Agnes was legs.
Yeah, and she's got them now.
She's got them.
And I feel like she's trying to learn how to hack the biology. Like, kind of like, how can I take these nanos and shift things around to give super strength in a moment?
I think she knows. I think she knows, but it's the control. She need that's the thing that she can't force. For some reason, she can't just tap into the brain to release endorphins. They have to come naturally.
She had to kind of like, she had to say, hey, I can help you and get permission to kind of go, oh, that's the part of the brain I need to get to.
Yeah,
like
perhaps.
She's just making moves to figure out the computer of the human body so she can hack the human body.
Mm-hmm.
That is really exciting.
That I really love.
And I love Agnes Borg.
Oh, it's so good.
So, like the that was some of my favorite parts of this is Agnes stepping out and singing and then coming to him being like, what's happening? Like her coming back into control for just a second.
Oh, I love that so much.
And then the view of her just walking towards this building in the distance, right?
Yeah.
In this beautiful red gown, just not caring about anything happening around her.
So much more confident.
Oh, man, it gives me chills.
And the way Alison Pill is delivering it is
so good.
She's just switching on that confidence. Yeah.
She's been the highlight for me from really early on.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see that this is the person that's kind of taking the front. It's a very sinful thing that she's apart from her crew right now, but we'll save that for Rissa.
The only other thing I'll say with the queen thing is that I did love the juxtaposition of the Borg queen in all of her like super alien cybernetic stuff going on next to all of the fancy dressed up people. Like it was really jarring, but in a really cool way.
Oh, and the way that the people putting this show together have created this alien creature and painted the prosthetics and have put it on this body.
That should win awards. It really
should.
It's
incredible to look at. All the way that it's like skin stretched over, but in this super beautiful way.
Yeah.
It's gross and grotesque and like art all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I love
costume
it so
and alien design, they are still hands down the best. I just wish I knew what the writers were playing at. But there we go. I already spoke about Brent Spiner, but I will once again say Brent Spiner is the MVP as well as Alison Pill. So good.
Too. It's all the villains are just killing it, you know?
Well, it's easier to write villains, isn't it? Because I think it is. Without them being... Okay, it can be difficult to not go mustache twirly. Wow.
Like mustard twirly.
but it's hard to get good guys to sound good without sounding cliche and over the top, which is exactly what we have.
We nodded to that.
Yeah.
And he says, we're the good guys.
Yes.
And the doctor's like, good guys don't say that.
Yeah, they kind of don't say that. I wish he'd been in it more. This it would feel less tacked on if that doctor was in it a lot more as well, to be honest. It just feels like a nod forward to get back. I mean, that's it. They get through the gala. They apparently convince Renee to stay in the most unconvincing speech I've ever heard. Picard gets hit by a car driven by Adam Sung as a last-ditch resort to hit Renee, but he misses. And Not Darge discovers that she is Not Darge. And roll credits into the next episode. We're going to go into Picard's brain. I mean, it's... Inter instance is futile before I do that, but Spock's brain... Okay, with that, it's time to head to engineering for his instance is futile.
Don't sound so sad. We love sinning.
We do.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sin brains, remind ourselves that no TV show is without sin, even our beloved Star Trek. Now, Spock's Brain is an episode of the original series of Star Trek, and this is where, I can't remember entirely, but something goes wrong with Spock, and he has to have his brain removed, and something has to happen. McCoy has to remove his brain, and Spock talks him through the surgery.
How?
He's still conscious somehow. It is notoriously...
Well, we can do that. We can be conscious through our brain surgeries.
Not this brain surgery. Like, the whole damn thing is removed. And the episode is called Spock's Brain. It's in season 3, and it's generally accepted to be the worst episode of the original series and probably the worst episode of all of Star Trek. So it's just interesting that we're doing a Picard's Brain episode next week.
And it was completely removed above his head, but like the flowy version.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I wonder if that's a nod
like
or not.
Like a wink and a nod.
I mean, if it's a wink and a nod to the worst episode of Star Trek ever made, I mean...
Maybe it's them saying, hey, you might not like this episode, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been a lot, lot worse. Unfortunately, it's too bland to be even in that conversation.
Wow, you really didn't like this episode.
I really didn't. And we'll get straight into my first reason why I didn't like it. if you've ever listened to me on a podcast talking about movies, I hate the start your movie with the end of your movie thing, and then 3 days earlier. It takes away all of the momentum because I spend the entire thing
waiting
kind of waiting
it.
To
well,
get
yeah.
back there.
How
it's
shocking
cheap.
Would it have been if all of a sudden we saw Dr. Soong run Picard over,
yeah.
not knowing that he was...
Yeah.
That would have been so crazy.
It just takes everything away. It literally opens with Picard on the floor bleeding. Okay, cool, 34 minutes earlier. And then it keeps doing it throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells
minutes
us...
earlier, 14 yeah. minutes earlier. Yeah.
It tells us exactly what is going to happen. It takes away all of the momentum, all of the impact. And it, I mean, it's not like it would have been a huge reveal anyway. Like, we know he's not going to die. This is just so that we can get inside his brain. Why do it other than we haven't done every single trope yet, so let's stick this one in. It doesn't match the feel of the show. It was unnecessary. It takes me out of the story. It just reminds me that I'm watching a TV show. I hate it. I wish people would stop doing it. It's lazy. It is a lazy way to build false tension. And it doesn't even build tension.
No, it doesn't. No, you're absolutely right. There was no tension in that for me at all. But I was thinking about like a show that did good tension. Now, I didn't watch this show, but there was a show called 24.
Mm-hmm.
And, and everyone always talked about the tension of it.
Yeah.
Like how it was just this countdown or something and how intense it felt.
That's because it happened in real time. So real time episodes are great because 24, man, in the first season, it wasn't just that everything took place across 45 minutes. Every scene was happening at once. So if we were with the main character, all of the other characters were still doing things. Everything happened in real time. And eventually it became too difficult and they stopped doing it like that. Things still took place across an hour, but you would jump backwards and forwards inside of that hour. It can work, but that's not what this show was doing. It's just bonkers.
No.
It's just lazy.
Yeah, so knowing that Picard was going to be injured and then seeing Dr. Soong in a car and then rev his car up, I'm like, oh, he's going to go run him over.
He's going to run him down, great.
And then I'm like, oh, this makes sense as to why Rene and Picard had to walk outside rather than walking through, which was one of the sins I had, but it makes sense. I mean, sometimes convention centers, they have like one big open room and then these longer hallways where things are set up. And you can go out of a door and cut through to get back into the, you know, other door. And that does happen sometimes, but it's just such a crazy thing that he just so happens to have to go outside to shave off time and then, you know, get hit by a car. And that it did it. If it's done well, I don't mind it. I don't mind when it's like, oh, this is interesting. But if it doesn't build tension and add to the story, if it's just a trope, then it feels like a waste of time.
For me, the best way to do it is to use it to plant clues. So imagine if that image had like 10 things that constituted the entire shot. And then we tick them off as we go through the episode. It's like, oh, that's why that's there. That's why that's there. That's why that's there.
Exactly.
It gives us something to do. But all this does is rob me of any investment because I already know how the story ends. I'm like, well, whatever happens here, Picard ends up on the floor. Cool. It's so hard to stay invested when that happens, especially when the story you're watching is pretty dull.
The one that I would send again is Rios saying that it's real with a stogie. We've talked about this before, so
that
I'm not going to
really
spend much
bugged
time.
Me this time. And the food as well. The food is so great here. I was like,
so
what is wrong with the future?
When it happened before, it was about peanut butter. And we didn't know if he was kind of playing it up for the boy. But now it's actually part of his character. I feel like this kind of confirms that for Rios, the food tastes different than the replicator can create. And the stogie is consumed differently. And the matchsticks are interesting. Now, I actually kind of think it's interesting. I like the idea of there being things in the 21st century that he wouldn't normally have experienced, like matches or something. Like maybe they saw it in a book once, but it's just not something that they would
holodecks,
do. Right?
Like one of the biggest pastimes in the holodeck is to live in the past. Like,
but
he's seen a match.
But maybe he's never seen a match box before. So I can understand, like, picking something and being, oh, this is interesting. And I like the idea of showing a discovery of someone from the future in my world looking at something. They even did it with a phone a little bit. Like, oh, we're all in our phones. Like, it's kind of an obsessive thing. So I don't mind that. But after talking to you about how replicators replicate to the taste or to the flavor.
The molecules,
I don't know how it would be different except for maybe in just some kind of a, maybe it's always the same. Maybe there's always a consistency with replicator, but with our food, there's always something different. Like, you'll never make the same cup of coffee.
It's true, but this isn't like a microwave meal. This is recreating something at the molecular level. And That is possible. It is possible that, hey, replicated meals all taste the same. But it's not, and I'm going to sound like such a dick, it is not the established canon in Star Trek. So in TNG, like, Deanna will replicate, like, an ice cream or something, and it will taste incredible. And because it's replicated, like, it should, replicators create good food. I
but
don't know why we suddenly got this
bad.
Bland thing.
I don't know that it's bland. I'm saying the word bland. Like, I'm making an assumption. I feel like it would just have a nuance because,
perhaps,
like I said, every roaster is different. So every box or every jar of peanut butter is going to be slightly different. And maybe that's what in the future they're used to the same, it tasting good every time. But this is just always different, and that might be interesting.
I think what I would have loved was, oh, this tastes terrible. The replicated stuff is so much better because that's what he's used to. Like, maybe, oh, I don't know.
Or
I
this
know.
Tastes terrible, but I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it tastes terrible. Something,
it's something different.
Yeah.
For
but
me,
anyways, I would dig in there a little bit, try to find a center too.
Totally. Because it makes sense. Say you came across a pinball machine and he's like, my goodness, what is that? This is incredible. Something he's never heard of before, but he's heard of matchsticks. So if it's that much of a curiosity, go into the holodeck and play with some matchsticks. I don't know. It feels like his amount of awe and wonder should come from things he's never been able to interact with, not stuff he's aware of. I don't know. I'm getting annoyed with it.
Oh yeah, you're really.
I'm getting wound up.
You're super wound up today. Because I feel like, let's say that there was something that I was fascinated by, but I actually got to touch the real thing from that timeline, I would still be excited about
it. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I'm just, it's, I mean, maybe the matchsticks are just a metaphor.
Like,
and
so like, when I've gone to a museum and seen, you know, Egyptian jewelry, and I traveled back in time, and I actually got to see it and touch it, I would be fascinated by it.
Yeah.
Because it was like right there, and it was new, whereas I'm seeing this thousand-year-old piece that survived all time.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Maybe I'll backpedal a little bit. I think my overall frustration is this is what you're doing with Rios. This is his function, is to be in awe of the 21st century.
I would think he'd be really pissed right now, having just almost been sent to another country for being Mexican.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was getting sent to a detention facility, for not being white, essentially.
I thought he was already being deported, essentially.
No, I think they're going to a place where they hold people temporarily.
Like you speak Spanish and you look like you're from, you know, you're going to go over here.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Is where you
basically, yeah. That's probably where Rachel it will get to eventually. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would think he'd be really, really obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And not like super giddy about somebody that he felt that he kind of maybe he's falling for. It's only been like a day.
You're absolutely right. Because he's just like, man, 21st century is not what I expected. It's pretty great. No, it's not fucking great. You nearly got deported. You're absolutely right. He should be pissed.
If I had just almost been lost to history for my race.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day I'm attending a party and smoking a stogie. I think I'd be like, man, I really appreciate that I'm here.
Yeah.
And maybe they just don't want to push it too much. But they're just kind of like erasing all that story to bring us into this new story, which happens a lot in entertainment where they want to move past trauma, which is understandable.
But I mean, you've got that bus of people that they freed, but there's thousands of other buses that didn't get freed.
Yeah,
so he probably should be preoccupied with that. Yeah. Oh,
or even
goodness.
Her. He didn't even know she made it back okay,
no,
by the way.
No, she did get freed because she comes to speak to him.
But he doesn't know that
she got back. No, I guess not. Man, it's...
Anyway.
The whole Rios thing is frustrating. But that moves nicely into Seven of Nine, who, to prove that she likes being human, is now mingling with everybody. Like, she's talking to everyone. Keep a low profile. Stop talking to people.
Man. I wrote, Seven is being social and laughing with people. She's being social? What? Like, all caps. Because I couldn't believe it cuts over. And the idea here is that Rafi is sort of looking over at Seven and thinking, you know, she's finding her humanity, and that's really great. Seven really didn't have a lot to do this episode. She didn't say much. She was kind of more a background character, which is fine.
Yeah.
That's going to happen where people are kind of shifting into these different roles and kind of coming closer to camera and further away. But the idea that she would be open mouth laughing and ha-haing about something that's being said in this group of complete strangers is a bit baffling to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did have to kind of shift into a social role when she immediately was president of this weird future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe she's been kind of acquiring this desire to just test out small talk in an environment, and we're getting to see her do some small talk. that could be part of it. But I just found it shocking. I it would have been much funnier to me if it cut over to her and people are talking to her and she's just like,
I don't want to do this. It's like, I get you around me because I'm pretty, but I don't want to talk to you.
Maybe.
Or the point is that she likes that people aren't gawking at her and giving her a wide berth because she has implants on her face. I get it, but there's just the whole don't interfere with the past thing. It doesn't have to be big events. It can be
little
one sentence.
As well. It can be. And I also think that the writers are wanting to remind us that she may have a struggle at some point to decide to stay in the past.
Well, I have that for predictions. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Okay. But it's because what if she talks to one of these people and instead of talking to their future wife or future husband, they're talking to her instead? Like, there is an interaction at that gala that doesn't happen because mm-hmm. Seven of Nine was there, and that stops the future president from being born.
But if the idea is that what they're doing is all part of the future,
I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm so done.
Then we have a different situation
here. Yeah, exactly. Before we move away from the gala, what was the plan at the gala? Because
to make sure that Q wasn't going to fuck with Renee.
But how are you going to stop him? I mean, it feels like they went. It was like, let's get in there and watch her. Laris is like, no, you can't talk to her. I was like, what was the fucking plan then? Was it just to intercept Q? Yeah. Like, he'll just snap his fingers and you won't be a problem anymore. Like, if he's going to do something, he's going to do something. It feels like the plan was always to talk to her, but nobody acknowledged that. I just don't know. We weren't clued into the plan. It was just, let's be there to make sure she doesn't get hit by a car, I guess.
Well, the plan developed in the last 5 minutes of the previous episode super fast.
Yeah.
And it became the setup for this episode really quickly. And then, you know, we kind of are where we are.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the show wants us to spend too much time thinking about it because, mm-hmm. you know, then it's like a surprise that it was he wanted to get into the control room all along and take the thingy thing and put the thingy where the thingy goes and then poof, they pass out.
Yes.
It is a very strange situation. Also, maybe the Borg Queen inside of Agnes's mind didn't want everyone to know the full plan, so I don't know.
Why get handcuffed? If you're going to poof the guards, why get handcuffed? Just poof them as soon as you get in there. Again, it's just to build false tension at the end of the episode for a cliffhanger. But, man, I make the series 6 episodes, ooh. And I think you've got a much stronger... Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd be saying reduce the episodes, but your turn, Danae.
Though I loved the scene, as I mentioned, Agnes singing. Is she mic'd already? How is that happening?
Does the band know what song is coming?
The band just got where they were ready.
They just went for
it. They were like,
oh,
we know this song. We know this version of the song.
Uh-huh.
And we're just going to back this complete stranger up. Uh-huh. This is not planned or rehearsed, but we are doing it. It makes for a great scene, but it's beautiful.
Is the one MacGuffin I will let them have it because it made a really, really cool scene.
It did.
Now, the all of the physical stuff, so the Queen making her stronger, giving her the ability to sing and project, all of that, there are nanoprobes inside of Agnes and they will increase strength, and Seven of Nine has perfect vocal cords because the explanation they give is that they can talk in different frequencies and they can use it as a code, and it turns out that Seven has a great singing voice as well. So that is a thing that the Borg can do. So I was kind of...
They're the sirens.
Exactly. Man, if they did... Man, imagine it. Never mind. I just went on a whole D&D like trail for like an entire hour in my head.
Rain
like, whoa.
Rain it in, Ian.
So I kind of buy all of the physical stuff. Like, yeah, she's in her head, but there are nanoprobes that are physically altering her body. We know that. So I'm kind of allowing all of the Borg alteration stuff to be okay. But yeah, the band knowing was very convenient. The one weird thing, though, it's... So this is when Queen and Agnes are... they've just uploaded all of the IDs. And Agnes says, I will destroy you if you, like, don't stop messing around. And Mikhail's just like, what was that? And like, never
completely
mind, don't worry.
It.
The amount of time characters do that, they hear something super fucking concerning and just ignore it.
Yep. And I'll just jump on to that one. And why is everybody suddenly like, we're going to go to the doctor's office, but fuck bringing Agnes with us. We'll just find her later.
We'll just leave her.
Completely left her behind without concern.
Man.
And had they talked to each other, they would have been like, yeah, she's been acting kind of strange lately. Like, they literally are just okay with completely leaving her behind.
Yeah, like, she kisses Rios and storms off. creates a distraction. So Rios definitely knows that something is squiffy. Yeah.
Are we assuming that they didn't hear her sing? Because didn't they say, I didn't know that Agnes could sing?
Who said that? Yeah, Seven said that, or Raffi did. So they were there for that because that was to distract the guards who were now not covering the exits.
So now it's this whole thing where it's like, yeah, and we're going to go out and Picard is ill. No one's going to stay behind to make sure Agnes knows where we've gone.
You don't all need to be
there.
We're
going to abandon her.
Seven definitely didn't. Seven and Raffi provided, well, I mean, Raffi argued, but Seven in particular provided nothing to that. She could have hung back.
And Seven should be the most concerned.
And that is one of my next points, was that A, can Seven not sense the Borg Queen? Okay, she doesn't have her implants anymore, so maybe not. But Seven's lack of interest in the Borg Queen's relationship with Agnes and all of that is baffling to me. And it is such a missed opportunity. This is why you have Seven here. She's your biggest link to the Borg, and you're missing something. I love that it's happening to Agnes, but ignoring Seven and her experience and the complexity she can bring to that, it's just an own goal. I don't know why we are sidelining Seven so much.
It's insane. Another insane thing is that we have Picard hit by a car, and then we cut to commercial and come back. And it's because they've been showing us that he's been on this gurney somewhere from the beginning, like 24 mm-hmm. minutes earlier or whatever.
Yeah.
There is no transition from the time that he's laying in the street to when we come back from commercial, we're now in the present on the table. Yeah. At a doctor's office somewhere in LA.
Apparently 30 seconds away.
We don't know. But what this means is that they've taken an elder man.
Yeah.
Right? In a Gollum body, of course. But mm-hmm. So maybe he's not as elder, but they still designed him to be elder somehow.
Yeah, they're
right?
Still concerned he's going to be dead.
Still elder.
Yeah. He's not indestructible.
Instead of stabilizing him where he is, somehow move him to this location,
mm-hmm.
putting him into a car or a van or dragging him through the streets. We don't know. We don't see how he's moved from point A to point mm-hmm. B. That in and of itself, obviously a sin, because that's really bad.
Like, yeah.
You don't know how many broken bones he has mm-hmm. or internal bleeding, and you're just going to lift him and chuck him into a car and like taxi him or Uber him over to this.
Don't ask any questions. I need a 6-person Uber.
Everyone there at the party who is also able to see that there was this person just hit in the street.
Yeah.
Also,
no police.
They sign off on this. But they see this group of people just shoving this man into some random car. It's not an ambulance. It's not an emergency thing. It's just a whole bunch of weird people that were already suspicious.
Security don't descend on them.
No, because they're distracted by the red dress singer,
still,
apparently.
Which is finished.
It's so sinful that there's nobody in our world that saw a man get hit and saw a group of people drag him into a car to take him someplace sketchy, and no one's putting together at this very highly, like this high society event that's mm-hmm. incredibly secure or whatever, mm-hmm. that there's no cameras outside scanning to see any of this happen and go, hey, these are the fools that were in line that we had trouble with on the program.
Yeah.
Hey, the girl in the red dress that's singing on stage, we actually detained her a couple minutes
yes,
ago.
And now she's singing.
And now she's singing on stage. What the fuck is going on? But it's okay because now we've cut to commercial, we've come back and it's about Picard again. Like, it's crazy uh-huh. how we just instantly forget to fill in the gap of time of how did they actually get to the doctor's office.
And the worst thing about that, I think, is that there is no gap of time. So one of the flash forwards is that he's on the medical bed with his shirt open and the doctor is working on her. And that's the one that says like 14 minutes earlier. No, we are still 14 minutes earlier from when he's on the sidewalk and bleeding, which means that you're saying that everything from the Rene conversation into him getting hit by a car, into being transported, happened in 14 minutes. What?
It's insane.
At least, if you're going to fuck with me, at least like do it consistently and stay on the clock. Oh, it just goes back to being lazy. I don't know if they were rushed. They just had to spoon this through. It's so
crazy.
Frustrating to me when the start was so high, the start was so great, and they just went tropey and unimaginative.
It's like, does anybody ask themselves this question, or they're like, you know, they're going to go along with it? Like, for example, calling a doctor in the middle of the night to come back to her clinic mm-hmm. for a patient. She stabilizes them and she's like, all right, I'm leaving.
Peace out.
What?
Bye.
I guess that's just how she works.
I'm going to leave all of these people here in my clinic.
Complete strangers.
That people depend on.
I'm sketchy. There, but, you know, maybe she's used to working with sketchy people. But she's literally walking out going like, he could die, but he's also might not. but my kid's going to wake up, so I got to go. I get that, but you mm-hmm. have to have a backup plan. Like, before you left the house, was there not anybody there that was going to be there for your son when they woke up? Or did you just leave your kid to sleep alone at night?
Which is really bad. Or, like, where's your right-hand person? There must be a nurse or somebody she really relies on, another doctor can be there as well. I don't know.
Kind of crazy.
A really quick one. Picard, is drinking wine really a good idea on a super secret mission? Like, do you not want to keep your wits about you? He's just like chugging that glass of wine.
There's
like,
so much drinking.
Keep your head about you.
This episode had a lot of drinking.
Uh-huh. A lot of substance abuse. So this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit. Not Data turns up and not Daj is like, what happened to you? And I kind of wanted to say, yeah, your tie is undone.
Oh, yeah.
He looked fine.
He looked
disheveled. I've come home in far worse state and no one's been like, what happened to you? I'm just like, I was at a party and I was drinking. Like, yeah, I took my tie off. I was expecting, oh my God, has he got like a head wound? I'm like, no, he just looks a bit tired. She's like, just, she has knowledge that she shouldn't have. Oh man. Jonathan Frakes directed this episode. He is a much better director than this.
He might not have had material. Like, if the writing material wasn't there.
Perhaps.
Because I felt like they were all acting well.
Yeah.
So I feel like from a director's perspective and like the angles and stuff, I really thought it was beautiful. I loved mm-hmm. some of the way that the shots were done.
Yeah.
But if the script itself and the content isn't
I think
there,
you're right. No, that's fair.
You know.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I think that's all that I had, actually. So when Not Daj is scrolling through the pictures, it's so silly, but she's pressing the right button on the mouse instead of the left. So she's right-clicking instead of left-clicking to click on all of the pictures. And there's no reason to invert a mouse other than somebody can't act with a keyboard.
I missed that entirely. That was a really interesting scene. I understand why we're skipping through time.
Mm-hmm.
But she must have been at that computer for hours and hours and hours to see all of that material, right?
Yeah. And is it that weird to see, like, why don't I remember this video? Heck, my parents have videos of me that I can't picture a single video of me. I mean, it was on my dad's camcorder. It's not like they had phones, but it wouldn't be that shocking to me. And like, why have I never seen this picture of me? That doesn't immediately mean that there's a conspiracy or that something's squiffy. I mean, if the folder says super secret, don't look at this, and that has a ton of photos, then I'll be like, why is he hiding it? It's like she focused on the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think her focus in my mind was going to be more like, where's mom in all these pictures?
Perfect. That would have been the perfect thing to say. Where's mom? Why isn't she in these pictures? Or why are they hidden? Not why haven't I seen them? It's why are they here.
The idea is that she has seen a lot of photos and videos from her life already.
Mm. Yeah.
Then she would be wondering where mom was a long time before then, because there wasn't mom in any of those, unless he like superimposed a picture of a mother in those pictures. If she's watching video, her question should have been, I've never seen video of me before. I've only been allowed to see pictures, or something that would indicate like how she's been protected from knowing that she doesn't have a mom this whole time.
Yeah.
That would have been potentially more interesting to me. But yeah, I agree. It was the wrong question.
Totally. Totally weird. Anything else?
I thought it was interesting that that Rios said the bio bed is not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, but there's so much that bed does. But the better problem is that we don't have power, right?
The real problem, is that we can't power the damn bio bed.
The real issue is, like, that's how Elnor died, right?
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
He didn't have power to keep him alive, right?
Yeah, it could stabilize Picard and keep him living, but it couldn't fix anything. It couldn't repair him. But to be honest, what did she do? She shocked him. She used a defibrillator, and that was it. She didn't do anything else.
Well, she did say that her hand was in his chest, didn't she?
Did she?
She said something about, like, being on his chest or in his chest or something, which is really strange to me because I was like, wait, I don't think we did surgery.
Oh, I totally missed that.
But I might have misunderstood that. So
it is baffling to me. It's, again, it's contrived. It's, let's get that doctor back in and get back to the ICU, the surgery practice place. I mean, we've pulled it apart. Anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. It was a rough one.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot, love the characters, but a rough one.
Beautifully shot. And the characters are what is keeping me going, and the overall story is keeping me going. And Agnes and Queen, I'm still invested in that more so than ever.
If this had been a 2-episode release, you watched them back to back, I don't think I'd be nearly as frustrated.
I think if we binge it start to finish, it holds up so much better. And I had the same thought with season one of Picard. Watching it week to week was frustrating. Watching it as a 10-hour film was fucking awesome, because imagine if you broke down Lord of the Rings into half an hour segments. There would be half an hour segments that are a bit dull and a bit weird to watch. But I don't know. That's screenwriters, show producers, we need to have some words. Akiva Goldsman, I love you, but we've got to have chats.
Yeah, we podcasters know better.
Fuck
somehow.
Yeah, we do. I'm not even going to pretend I don't. I do. Okay, with that, let's head to our final stop, which is the Captain's Ready Room. Welcome to the Captain's Ready Room, where we hear our predictions for the rest of the season and bask in our Q-like glory if anything we've previously predicted have come true. I had a message saying, holy shit, have you watched this already when you predicted last week's episode? Because I got some stuff right.
You really got a lot.
I did quite good.
Right.
I did quite good.
You're reading the signs really, really well. I think your knowledge of things is also really helpful. But yeah, you're on it. This one's harder for me. For whatever reason, I'm just not seeing things going.
And it's interesting because I
took my power.
I think I did, but I think it's because I'm reading into tropes, which is something I'm going to be more in tune with because I watch a lot more movies and I consume a lot more television. So I don't think it's a good thing that I can predict this stuff, because it means the show isn't being super imaginative. There's some like historical things I can predict based on how the Queen acts and what Q is like. So I think that definitely helps. But the fact that you're not predicting as much means the show isn't doing a great job of laying the foundation, because you are good at picking up on signals, which means they're probably not giving us enough signals or not doing them in an entertaining enough way. But yeah, I think I managed to predict that. What was it this week? Oh, it was that not Daj is not Daj and is a science experiment, completely artificial, which kind of made sense. Agnes is pretty much cemented as the new queen, we think. And yeah, I think that was the big ones, wasn't it? My boldest prediction is that I think more of the crew is going to stay behind. I think there's a chance that Rios is going to stay in the 21st century.
I think that's a possibility.
Raffi and Seven. I think all three of them will stay in the past, in the 21st century. Picard and Agnes will go to the far future to be the Borg Queen. Picard will be back in his timeline.
With Laris, somehow.
With Laris, but Romulan Laris.
Mm-hmm.
And Elnor will be
dead,
doing what Elnor does, or stay dead. Yeah. That's my prediction.
I had the same thoughts or similar thoughts. Rios, or Raffi, sorry. I feel like she probably would want to go into the future again to try again with her son.
Mm-hmm.
I think her son might be a draw for her, and mm-hmm. also knowing that Elnor is waiting, I think that'll actually take her into. I don't know that she would stay behind. I can see Seven potentially staying. Yeah. Because of the humanity circumstances, mm-hmm. which makes sense. And if they decide to loop in the Doctor and Rios together, it's either Rios staying, which they're giving him kind of the indicators that he could,
mm-hmm.
or something happens to where the son and the mom go into the... Like, that maybe the timeline is going to be erased, and so they're like, well, we don't want to be erased, and so they just decide to go because she sees something futuristic that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I fully expected for it to pan over and to see like the floating brain thing in the air, and the Doctor to be like, what the fuck is that?
Just come back. I forgot my coat. What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which still could happen, because she could come back and mm-hmm. see them doing any kind of like, she's in her brain shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly.
With the alien going into Picard's brain. But yeah, I think Seven has the best chance of sticking, obviously, that mm-hmm. they're kind of setting the ground for that. I don't know about Rios. I would be bummed about that, because I feel like he's such a great pilot.
Yeah.
It would be very confusing to me for them to potentially end his story because of love. That feels like, if they do that, I probably won't watch Picard season 3.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's what I want to happen. I just worry that that's the foundation that they're laying. And I hope I'm wrong with that.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, I feel like there might be a motivation there that comes from a relationship. They're going to bring back this Doctor. I feel like in the next episode, the Doctor is going to be helping them with the surgery of the alien going into Picard's mind. And she's going to see future tech and know that they're from the future and have a better understanding of who these people are so that she can help them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If she sacrifices herself or something, it's weird to think that they would do that with a mother character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they would sacrifice
She needs something.
But I don't know what they're going to do with her if she's not going to become motivation for Rios somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually will do sacrificial motivations of some sort.
For sure, definitely. I mean, the one possible chance with that is that historically the records have it that she died doing this, but actually she doesn't die and ends up in the future. So mm-hmm. they fake her death so that she can go into the future.
Would they take a mother away from her son to do
that? Maybe the son comes with them. Maybe they both die. Yeah. And they all come to the future.
Do you think that that whatever they discover in Picard's imagination or in his mind, his memories that he's stuck inside of or whatever, do you think that's going to relate to the timeline at all? Or is it completely separate and it's just a Picard?
Man, this is my biggest trepidation for next week. And overall, is that we've been getting glimpses of this past, that Picard is focusing on memories of his mother and a traumatic event from his past. I'm excited that we're finally most likely going to get the answer to that next week, but I have no clue how that ties into the overall story. And it has to. For this to make sense, it has to tie in pretty fundamentally, because if that gets resolved next episode, then what was the point in having all of the flashbacks? It must be, and I'm wondering if that is the event that Q goes back to, or maybe Q went back to that event, fucked with some things, and that has changed some stuff, and that new memory is like supplanting itself in Picard's brain.
I have a question. Can Q change his appearance?
Q can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Do you think he's Laris?
He could be. We haven't seen them side by side.
Okay, so Q decides to go into Picard's brain to retrieve something, mm-hmm. and this is how he does it.
Yeah, could be.
So when the alien Laris at the table mm-hmm. is texting, it's actually Q.
Yeah, it could be.
So it's been Laris is Q.
Yeah, I would love that. Ooh.
Because it's the whole like looking like Laris thing is weirdly freaking
putting me off, yeah.
So it's Q.
It could be. Okay, big prediction.
So then
Laris is Q.
Laris is the human Laris, human alien Laris, mm-hmm. goes into his mind mm-hmm. to find something mm-hmm. that he needs to understand.
Maybe. It just comes back to Q can just snap his fingers and find out.
He can't, though.
But he could before this.
Oh, he can't time travel.
When he decided to go on this mm-hmm. mission, mm-hmm. he could have done. So the Q losing his powers thing is a recent development. So it's niggling at me and I can't work it out. Yeah, why has he lost his powers?
At the end, I also want to know like why, if that is true and it is Q and he is going to go into the mind, why did they need to be in the past to do that?
Exactly.
Or did he have to take everybody out somehow? And why even show him his future timeline? It's not like you said, he just likes to fuck with people. So mm-hmm. there is just that element of...
It could always be just fuckery.
The elaborate plan just to kind of mess with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I really hope that there is a better tie to what's in Picard's mind than just mm-hmm. something he's been struggling with his whole life that gives more depth and power to the Picard character. I know that Picard lovers are going to be like, oh, this is interesting because this is part of him this whole time. We didn't know about this part of his mother. We didn't know these things.
How much is that important?
So as we go back and watch TNG, we now have this bit of information about this character. And that is interesting, and I'm okay with that. But what they're doing in this show with like all these different pieces coming together and not understanding how they tie at this point, I'm curious if it's going to be obvious or not that it is tied together or not.
How much of this show are they sacrificing to do this cool thing with Picard? That's what I'm right. This needs to be able to stand on its own to some degree.
The Borg Queen. Let's talk about that. So you think there's a possibility that Borg Queen is not related to time? Like that's an accidental release?
It is hard to believe that with Q being omnipotent and knowing everything. So that means Q either doesn't care or... that was Q's plan all along. But I'm really hoping that this is tangential to Q's plan. The Queen has been very opportunistic and taken advantage of Q's meddling and is using that to assimilate the planet in the past. Because this makes so much more sense with the Borg Queen's motivations to have power and have a collective. My prediction is that she's going to go on an assimilation rampage with Agnes now. Mm-hmm. And she's just going to be unleashed and start mm-hmm. assimilating some shit. And maybe Q and Picard have to team up because, I've meddled one step too far and look what I've done. I broke Earth.
I broke her earth.
I hope that's what happens.
The more I think about it, the more I really hope this is the way that it goes, because Picard has been hiding things from Q and not letting Q into his mind so many times.
Mm.
So for Q to have been thinking for however long about how do I get into his mind, I'll make him think that there's something about his past, of his ancestors. So we'll go back to this moment. I don't even care about anything else. I don't care if anything else goes wrong. I just want to get into his mind. And he has to be open enough. And I'm not going to interfere here, but I'm going to do all these. It's crazy to think that he would go through that much trouble to get into his mind. But at the same time, it makes sense. It makes sense, too.
If you've been alive for millions of years, then maybe you just get bored and shit. There's part of me that thinks maybe he wants to do this to help Picard work through some trauma that he's never worked through. And you've never really dealt with this tragic event that happened in your past. And maybe that's where it diverges. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm still trying to work out how we get to the totalitarian bad future. And how it links back to Picard's youth.
Well, apparently about to see something really traumatic and maybe picks up a weapon and kills someone or doesn't.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe if he had intervened and rescued his mum.
If Q is back in his mind influencing his decisions.
Mm. Hmm. Maybe the change that happens is way in Picard's. Wait, no.
Because that doesn't change time.
Change time because it's the wrong time.
Oh, my God.
But it's so confusing. Went too deep. Hey, remember that Vulcan in the forest that we still haven't seen yet? Like, man, how does that tie back into things? So to summarize, it's going to sound like we hate Picard. We do not. But these last couple of episodes are not good.
What's the building in the distance in LA? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it a power source of some kind?
Could be generic skyline.
I think she's going for a power source.
Well, Queen said, I think I need your ship first. So I thought she was heading back to the ship to take over, but then she's just walking through the streets. So I think she's heading back to La Serena, and then she's going to go somewhere.
No hurry at all.
No hurry at all. She's enjoying having legs. Danae, have you ever been without legs? Just go for a walk. So
no, yeah. I get that, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the bit I'm most excited for. I am super trepidatious, I think that's a word, about how miserable next week is going to be if it's all in Picard's brain, because those episodes can, like, grind the plot to a halt. We could end next week 30 seconds after this episode ended because it all happened in Picard's brain.
I'm confused about something.
Go on.
Where is Picard's vineyard?
Le Bar, France.
But they're in LA?
Transporters.
Okay.
Yeah. They still have enough power to use the transporters.
So hold on. So they've teleported from France.
Transported.
To LA.
Yes.
How are they going to get back?
Transporters.
But there's nobody at the station to push the buttons.
They could automate it. I don't know.
Okay.
You think you'd leave someone behind? I don't know, man. It's getting tricky. Okay.
I'm just like, so she's walking, but she can't walk back to France.
Yeah, she's going to, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you literally can't walk back to France. So where is she walking to? She can't be walking back to the ship.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. She can't be.
No, because it's not like it's parked.
No. Man, I really want to watch 7, 8, and 9, and 10 back together. So you're not going to get a captain's pod for 5 weeks because we're going to have to watch them all back to back so that I don't get any more angry.
Gosh, okay. Well, this has been a lot of fun.
How's it?
We didn't tell him what we were drinking.
No, I'm still drinking the same cup of coffee.
I am too.
Good, because, man.
But I'm going to need more.
We're going to need more after this. Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/cinemascenes to sign up so you can watch our live show. If you haven't seen what me and Danae look like, you get some close-up shots of my nostril, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
You also get to see Captain Ian Whittington have to deal with a lot more crew members.
Oh, Matt, the entire Sins crew. So the CinemaSins narrator, Jeremy, Chris, the mastermind behind so many beautiful things, Daniel, who is an incredibly funny Star Trek nerd, Jonathan, who is probably a bigger Star Trek nerd than I am, and Aaron Dicer, who is just a little bit of a troll, just trying to...
And Jeremy Scott. Did you say Jeremy Scott?
I said Jeremy, yeah. Okay. Jeremy Scott.
And Chris Atkinson.
And Chris Atkinson. And just an incredible, like, just Star Trek discussion. So yeah, head over to patreon.com/cinemascenes and you can have a look at that live show awesomeness. And keep sending your emails with predictions.
Yeah, we love it.
I love it. I love it. And I hope there's going to be more because
Like, there is.
We're at the end. This is the time to predict.
It really is. And this is where I'm kind of getting lost as well. Like, this is where there's so many, like, strands that could disappear. And I'm sure there's things I'm not thinking of. The only thing I do know is that Wesley probably won't be coming back. I'll explain that off mic.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for listening, everyone. It's an exasperated goodbye from me and...
And shadows of the night from me.
Oh, my. You do look very shadowy today.
Thank you. That's lack of sleep.
No, I meant you're wearing a black top.
These are just... I just have dark face. Circles under my eyes. Some of it's lack of sleep. Some of it's just genetics.
Let's get some Borg Nano probes on that. Anyway, as always, live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Okay, check, 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 check. Test, test, test.
Check, 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 check. Test, test, test.
Beautiful.
Check, check, check.
It worked! Bah!
There you go.
I did it!
You did it!
Bah!
Bah!
Do you instantly think that we made the right call in recording this morning instead of last night? Because I'm pretty sure if we would have recorded last night after driving for like 7 hours from Sin Week, our beginning conversation would have been more like,
Captain's log, Snoddy, live long and prosper.
Get some sleep.
Does things.
Get some sleep.
I think we made the right call, although I really am interested in what that episode would have been, the episode that never was.
Because the sleepy episode?
The sleepy episode. We'd have just come off of, a week of, like, awesome Sin Weekiness, 7 hours of driving, bam, into recording for 2.5 hours.
I was interested in it, but fate intervened, and the Dicer house was double booked.
There was a party in the basement, and that's not a euphemism?
Mm-mm, no, it was a literal party going on in the house, and our studio agent double booked. So it's been a bit of time. We got out of our rhythm of watching the show when it comes out and then recording immediately. Mm-hmm. I had to avoid Twitter.
Oh, did you just avoid it entirely?
I've gone through, like, I glanced through, but thankfully I don't have a lot of Star Trek stuff happening in my feed. So there was only a couple times that was like, ooh, and quickly kind of got out because I was afraid I was going to see something.
Abandon ship, abort, abort.
I'm wearing my comm badge today. Look. I got to charge it.
That was a very convincing noise of, like, when it, like, doesn't work. And that always bugs me in Star Trek. So it does make a different noise when it doesn't work.
Does it?
But, yeah.
I didn't know. I was just making that up.
No, seriously. So it goes like chirp, chirp. And then it will do like, imagine the chirp, but it's in like a deadened room. So like there's no echo to it. It just says, gong, gong. It's not like that at all. What's always annoying about it is that we seem to figure it out before they do. So they'll get into a planet and there'll be like some barrier to the senses or whatever. And Riker will like slap it because he slaps it so hard. And it'll go like the bad chirp. And we're like, oh no. And he'll keep trying. I'm like, dude, did you not hear the bad chirp? Because that means it's like, maybe if you didn't slap it so hard, then you would have heard it. But Riker's all about peck slapping.
We've all gone into an important situation having forgotten to charge our smartphones at some point.
It's pretty much the same thing. You would love Lower Decks. You really would. Especially with like a bit more Star Trek knowledge now. You would find it really funny. It's like Rick and Morty. It really is. But for Star Trek.
Which is part of the Star Trek universe.
It is now. Fuck. Grumble. So we are getting some emails from people and I absolutely love it. So far they've been exclusively, here's a prediction or Ian, I think you're wrong. And I love it so much because we're having a good little discussion about Star Trek. The latest one, and I love this so much. It is from Bud Cobb. And is that like Cobb Vance?
Let's say so.
Okay, cool. Cobb Vance.
Immediately he's like space cowboy in my imagination.
Okay, from our space cowboy. It has been bothering me that Jean-Luc didn't remember his ancestor being on the Europa mission. So that's Rene. Especially when I recall him telling somebody that Rene was his inspiration. And that was either in like a movie or one of the seasons. I can't remember that exactly. But I think Rene has been mentioned. So here's the prediction. What if the original timeline had Rene not going on the Europa mission? And the thing that makes the bad juju future is that she does go on the mission. And this bolsters Picard's
family into space exploration, and instead of making them wine farmers, it makes them dictators and the horrible people that we see. So Q is using some like reverse psychology to get Picard to convince Renee to go on a mission that she's not supposed to be on.
I'm following this 100% because I've had this thought before.
I love it so
but
much.
To go back to Space Cowboy's original thought, that the start of the thing, the start of the email, it really still bothers me too, because I also remember something being mentioned about Renee, and I think it was in the same episode, but at a, like earlier in the episode, he doesn't remember. And then as it goes, he kind of suddenly remembers her and he's almost bragging about her or something like that. But either way, he would know, ideally, if she did or did not go to space.
If she's the first Picard to go into space, I would think he would know.
So if she wasn't in space, then he wouldn't be pushing her to go to space right now.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, well, that's going to change the timeline.
You would think, but the excuse, and the reason this really holds up as well, is because Raffi also, or somebody said, yeah, no, the historical records from this period of time are a mess, which is why we don't know, which is always hey, we don't know this because...
We just have to scramble this part. Yeah.
We have to give a reason for why we don't know it.
It's the same way that they're changing. Like, everything is networked together in this century. Everything is no longer networked together.
Okay, so this is a prediction from Eric, but it's kind of a semi-clarification as well. So I think I cleared it up. Basically, the problem is that this should be the timeline of the future. So the reason that Guinan doesn't know Picard is because he's in an alternate past. But we said it's not that because the change hasn't happened yet.
We kind of went over that in the episode, right?
Mm-hmm. The only addendum I'd like to make to that is if this isn't the first time Q went back in time and messed with things. So if they went back in time to this point, but Q had already gone further back and fucked with things, that would explain why Guinan doesn't know Picard. So I wonder if this isn't the only meddling Q has done, but it's the only meddling that the Queen can detect.
Also just drugs. You know, maybe she just had a bender.
Guinan just like was really hungover. That's
really
why she doesn't remember
hungover.
Him. Yeah.
Or maybe she had some kind of a food, you know, that just the intestinal rumbling and the ulcers of running a business and the stress of being in the 21st century, like with all the things that are going on in this year.
I don't want to be in the 21st century.
She might just be like, I don't remember who you are because I don't want to. I feel that way about the tax man when it's tax time.
I thought you just because I feel like that about many people in my life.
I don't remember you. If I think about it longer than 10 seconds, I might, but I don't want to.
I don't want to do that. I've got enough bald men from the future trying to corrupt my present. Sin Week was so much fun, wasn't it? And we got to do a live show.
It was so much fun.
We got to do a live Captain's Pod show.
Being in the room, we were on a stage of an old theater in like downtown Nashville that had been renovated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to the Bell Court for hosting us.
And it was the theater. It's a kind of theater where it was also a theater of the arts as well. So there is an under the entire stage section. So when we were in between shows and we were in between panels, like podcast panels, we actually got to go down under the stage and sit there and kind of wait until it was time for the show to start.
Did you find the trapdoor?
I found 4.
Wait, what? I was joking.
Yeah, there was trapdoors everywhere.
Oh.
There was 3 rooms we were not supposed to go into.
And you didn't you? You went, we're not going to be allowed to go back.
It's such an old building. There was these like very specific signs in the bathroom. Like it started off with exclamation points, like huge, bold letters. This is an old building. Do not flush anything other than toilet paper and your excrement down this toilet because it won't handle it. And then it said, thanks, the poop fairy or the toilet fairy.
Toilet fairy.
And I'm like, what a terrible job. Well, I guess the fairy probably doesn't know that it has that bad of a job. Like the tooth fairy seems also like a pretty weird job to me. But like now there's the toilet fairy as well.
It's even weirder. So you think that they're all in their own bubble universes where they don't know about the other fairies?
Oh, I think they all know about each other and there's judgment and disparity.
Really?
Yeah, like, well, at least I'm not a toilet fairy. And the toilet fairy is like, listen, I actually love my job because guess what? I am designed to not smell or have a reaction to any of the stuff that I get to deal with. And if it's not for me, you don't even know what I'm saving the whole world from because I go into the pipes and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, thank you, toilet fairy. We all should just take a moment and thank the toilet fairies that are out there.
Oh.
while we were away at Sin Week having a great time and broadcasting Captain's Pod from this beautiful stage in front of a live audience with lights and cameras. We had like a whole production company over on the side. It was incredible. We had
more people producing the show than on the show.
It was incredible. It was great. Back home, my pipes in the basement were backing up and stuff that should not have been glubbing up underneath the house was glubbing up underneath the house into like our basement shower. And Justin, he doesn't think before he sends pictures sometimes.
Oh, no.
He sent me a photo.
No.
Without any explanation. I just open it up.
And no, he didn't.
No. Let's just say that the toilet fairy was not present at my house that day. And she is needed. He or she or they or them. They are needed to come to my house.
Imagine being the first house that the toilet fairy refused. Like, nope, I'm not doing it. It's like, oh, fuck, this is bad.
One of my favorite parts of doing Captain's Pod in front of the live audience was just hearing the laughter. And there were several moments when we were thinking about the names of people or organizations or places, and the audience knew about it. And not everybody in the CinemaSins universe who came to Sin Week is listening to Captain's Pod or has an interest in it. But those that were there that are listening to the podcast or do have knowledge were really enjoying themselves.
They loved it so much. It was
really,
so great.
Really fun. And even those who didn't had questions later on in Sin Week about how to get started with Star Trek. Did you feel like a drug pusher at that point?
I was like, here's what you do. You start off with the really crap stuff. You go in there and then that'll ease you in and then you're hooked and then you get into TNG and bam, you're hooked for life.
That's also how the toilet fairy talks. Like, you start with the crap stuff.
Okay.
You get hooked.
Nice. That was one of my favorite things, is having somebody say, like, I want to get into Star Trek. I love sci-fi. How do I do it? And I have a way prepared. I have a route into Star Trek. I usually like to be there for it, but I can't be there for every single person that's getting into it. But I have a route to get in. And Jonathan Watkins completely disagreed with me and then agreed with me once he heard the reasoning. So it is Jonathan Watkins approved.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. He knows his trick.
By the way, I know this is going to make you a little uncomfortable, but there's not a live audience here to have to contend with. But you did so good.
Ah.
Doing a show in a private studio with, you know, because, well, when the show, normally, we're not in the same room together. Normally, you're back home.
Yeah.
So this is even different than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but you put yourself, like, in front of a live audience where you have, all of a sudden, a crew, like, seven times as big. To contend with all these different people weighing in on thoughts, having to kind of guide the conversation and do it while there's lights, cameras, action happening. It's a lot, and you did great.
Thanks, Ambassador. The captain doesn't know how to react. Imagine, like, Picard getting
Picard.
A compliment. Like, everyone is shitting on him, and he's almost more comfortable. But give him a compliment, then you will see him squirm.
He would be like, as you were.
Yes.
On the other side of the door. I even wore my comm badge during
you
the show.
You are, like, ready. And I forgot to bring my comm badge to the live show. I'm very sad. Next year, I will do it in full uniform. That is a...
What?
That is
a
promise.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. I will do it in uniform. And I will let the fans pick which uniform I wear.
Oh, Lord. You know they're going to go full Q on you.
They're going to do, like, one of the Riker ones where it's just, like, an open V thing that goes down to my crotch.
You have that?
I don't, but I'd have to buy it.
No, you... Okay, this is just a ruse to get more Star Trek gear.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yeah, this is a way so I can expense my Star Trek uniforms.
No, you can't.
I can.
No, you can't.
We'll see. The show was incredible. It was about an hour and a half, and we recorded the video for the whole thing as well. So if you want to see that, it is available to watch if you go to patreon.com and join the Sin Club. And I believe it's going to be available at the $10 tier, I think.
You can also just hang out in this podcast feed if you would like, because it will eventually show up in the podcast feed.
Yeah, not entirely sure when, but it's going to be in the next couple of months. It will drop into the feed.
Ow!
It's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes.